Making Roommate Lemonade by Ermengarde. Read by to Patty. Written and recorded for Pod Together 2013. Abandoned fic. Rated Gen. Wherein Ryan ditches Spencer to live with a girl. So Spencer is stuck with this guy that no one's ever heard of. Not even Mikey. And Mikey knows everyone. Either's notes. There are references to homophobia in this story, and some instances of homophobic language used by a character about themselves, although they are not internalizing homophobia. If you'd like more information, please drop Ermengarde an email. Her email can be found on her profile. Additional notes following the fic. This year was going to be great! Spencer was finally out of stupid freshman housing and into the palatial delights of Landman House. By palatial, he meant more or less private bathrooms, a hot plate, and a fridge. Spencer's definition of palatial was possibly a little screwed up, but whatever. He'd spent a year in a room with peeling wallpaper, a stoner roommate, and 43 other people sharing his shower. Landman was going to be amazing. Okay, so he'd actually spent most of the year hanging out with Ryan and Ryan's suite at Landman House, bitching about the stupid freshman housing rules, but still. Anyway, it was going to be great. Then Ryan decided that things with Allie were serious, and that he'd rather live with his girlfriend of 5 months than his best friend of 15 years. Spencer's not bitter that Ryan's ditching him and the plans they've been making since they were preteens. Spencer's just a little suboptimally happy about getting a random roommate assignment when he could have totally arranged to share with, like, John, or Dallin, or someone. If only Ryan had thought to give Spencer more than 5 minutes' notice that he was going to do all his decision-making this year with his dick. Spencer tried all of the arguments to persuade Ryan to give up his plan of living off campus in a tiny rat-infested hole, but not even guilting Ryan about decapitating Spencer's Superman action figure when Spencer was 8 worked. So Spencer stuck, moving into a suite 9 days before classes start, just so that he can get there first and claim the best bedroom, and then waiting in day and night to welcome B. Yuri. Spencer does fully intend to be welcoming, just as long as B. Yuri understands that Spencer's bathroom organization and shelf filing system are the only reasonable way for things to be arranged. He's given B. Yuri a whole half cabinet for food. Spencer is amazing. It doesn't help that no one seems to know who B. Yuri is. Not even Mikey. And Mikey knows everyone. Mikey even knows that weird kid that never goes to class, who may or may not actually go here, and who keeps inviting everyone out to see his band play in really skeevy bars and basements. Mikey's even been to see the band, and says it's almost as good as weird kid Sean Von Van something says it is. What Spencer's saying is, if Mikey Way doesn't know someone, then they probably don't exist. Spencer may have said as much to Mikey in front of Frank. Frank then offered to come over and perform some kind of exorcism. Spencer is never saying anything in front of Frank again. He can only cope with one middle-of-the-night encounter with Frank, a bottle of holy water, an actual incense-burning thing from an actual church, and a Bible that Frank may or may not have been trying to set on fire. So, barring nocturnal acts of Frank Iero, Spencer's mostly been hanging out in his totally empty residence for 4 days. No one else is back from vacation yet, and Ryan only answered his cell once, and he's definitely too busy to be hanging out with Spencer. Spencer is not bitter. Spencer is already ahead on his reading. He's making academic lemonade and planning to guilt the fuck out of Ryan. Whatever. He's got time to plan. On day 5, all fucking hell breaks loose. B. Yuri, as it turns out, is A sophomore transfer, B. a music major who's as yet undecided between performance and composing, and C. a big, big, big fan of Capri Suns. He's already fucked up Spencer's careful kitchen organization because he arrived with, like, an industrial quantity. There are Capri Suns in Spencer's raw meat Tupperware. Thinking about it makes Spencer grind his teeth. B. Yuri is also called Brendan, and Brendan cannot be quiet. Spencer knows every single thought that runs through Brendan's head. the moment it happens. He knows about Brendan's dislike of unpacking, his love of the sun and of birds and of all things Disney Princess. He knows that Brendan has a map of campus, but is probably going to get lost on his way to register for classes because he knows that Brendan can't read maps. He knows that Brendan doesn't really like green very much, but he's sure that their couch will be super comfy because color isn't a sign of comfort. It's been less than an hour, and Spencer knows that he is probably going to finish out the semester in jail for committing murder one. Hey, Spencer, you know the dining hall? Spencer rolls his eyes. Brennan's been here less than 24 hours, and he's already lost count of the inane questions. Yes. Did you know that they don't let you put cheese on the cereal? Like, I get that it's not everyone's taste or whatever, but I thought being a student was supposed to be all about freedom of expression. My creativity is being seriously stymied. But why? You. Why? Spencer literally cannot make any sense of this conversation at all. Experimentation, Spencer. It's for science. That's not science. That's revolting. Also, we have a kitchen where you can eat whatever you want. If you stopped using it as a Capri Sun repository, then maybe you'd have space for your weird culinary experiments. Brendan looks over at where his fucking Capri Suns are spilling out of the fruit bowl and bites his lip. Yeah, but they don't let you take food out of the dining hall. I think they think you're trying to cheat them or something. Brendan pouts. It is not cute. Spencer takes to skulking. He's good at skulking. He used to do it all the time with Ryan when they wanted extra cookies and Spencer's mom said no. He skulks to the kitchen when Brendan's in the shower and rearranges stuff so that things are in the right places. He skulks out of the door when Brendan's crawling around the floor looking for a lost straw to drink his fucking Capri Suns with, and basically spends as little time as possible in the suite, and no time at all in Brendan's company. But, like, subtly, without actually telling Brendan that he's avoiding him or anything. Spencer's just being busy, that's all. He just has a busy life with lots of friends and no space for the crazy loud guy who lives in his suite. And then it's time for classes to start, and Spencer is actually busy. He has to register for classes and catch up with his friends, and he finally gets Ryan to leave his apartment for coffee. And by the time he catches his breath, they're nearly a month into the semester, and Brendan's rarely ever home, and the Capri Suns have stopped their takeover bid. It's great, really. It's almost like having a single, except with more space. And the tiny little grain of nagging guilt that Spencer had over kind of abandoning Brendan when he first arrived evaporates in a cloud of eye rolling when Spencer sees him hanging around with Pete Wentz. Spencer is friends with Ryan Ross, so Spencer recognizes the hero worship expression that Pete Wentz seems to inspire in people. Spencer absolutely does not understand why someone so crazy and loud and who's so into showing off on the internet that everyone's seen his dick is such a figure of adulation. But anyway, Brendan's fallen in with the Wentz crowd of ridiculous, loud assholes, all of whom seem to have serious fucking family money, or in Pete's case, a business selling fucking t-shirts to support their party hard lifestyle. Brendan turns up on some of Pete's advertising flyers, and Spencer maybe kinda bitches with Ryan about it sometimes. Saying that Brendan must be really great at giving head for Pete to choose midgety Brendan as a model over Bill or Gabe. Classes get crazy super quickly. Sophomore year is so much harder than freshman year was, and Spencer starts counting the days until Thanksgiving break about a week before Halloween. In Spencer's suite, Halloween lasts about a week and a half, until Spencer gets too irritated at the garbage sack bats hanging from the ceiling and rips them, and the banner Brendan made saying, "Welcome to the graveyard," down. Brendan looks puzzled when he gets back from whatever Wincy and Bacchanal he was at on Tuesday night, but he doesn't say anything. Finally, Thanksgiving break arrives, and Spencer and Ryan fly back to spend the holiday with Spencer's family in a flurry of half-done assignments, dirty socks, and Ryan's billion and six scarves. Brendan gets up early to wave Spencer off to the airport, which is weird, but Spencer figures that Brendan hasn't even started packing yet, so the early start will help him out. Thanksgiving is busy and full of food. Spencer figures that his mom feels like she has to fit all her mothering into the holidays now, so he submits gracefully to the onslaught of food and forced haircuts and clothes buying, and he figures that he's not being a horrible son when he insists on going shoe shopping alone with Ryan, because the fewer people Ryan inflicts his socks on, the better. His dad keeps slipping him money, too, but Spencer figured out it made him feel happy right back when his parents were getting him all unpacked and set him up at the start of freshman year, so Spencer lets him and makes Ryan accept the folded 20s, too. As always, they head back with far more than they came with, and Spencer's dad insists on paying the excess baggage charge, which is good. It's a fucking stupid amount of money to spend on sweaters and food. The suite fucking stinks when Spencer unlocks the door and nearly gags. What the fuck? Brendan, are you dead in here? A very faint noise comes from Brendan's room, and Spencer wonders if, maybe, Brendan is actually in the process of dying right that moment, and he's suddenly worried enough to drop all his million bags right there in the doorway of their suite. People do die at school sometimes, and there had been a story going around freshman year about how they, like, comped your grade or whatever if your roommate died. It had seemed quite a good deal at the time, but really, Brendan's super fucking irritating and everything, but Spencer doesn't want him dead. Brendan? Bren! Spencer shoves open the door to Brendan's room, and a wave of nausea rolls over him. The stench in the main room was nothing compared to the smell in Brendan's bedroom. What the? Sp Brendan breaks off into coughing, and Spencer walks right into the stuffy room and flings open the window. The cold air probably sucks for someone with what sounds like a fucking pneumonia, but the heat's on, and stewing in a room full of stale, germ-ridden air has to be even worse than chilly air. Did you get sick on the plane? Maybe Brendan came back earlier, got one of the cheaper overnight flights or something. Red eyes always made Spencer sick, so he had, like, sympathy. Ah, Brendan starts coughing again. I'm gonna go get you some water. Spencer eyes the mound of tissue by the bed. And some Kleenex. Spencer tends to be a little bossy sometimes. He knows this. Ryan fucking hates it when Spencer has to look after him, and he's never pulled any punches in pointing out Spencer's faults. So Spencer knows that he's probably overstepping some kind of boundary when he goes back into Brendan's room and tries to make Brendan sit up and drink some water. Brendan doesn't seem to want to sit up, but Spencer's determined to at least hydrate him, so he shoves an arm under Brendan's shoulder and hauls him up. Fuck! Spencer is shocked at how thin Brendan feels, like every bone in his back is sticking out. Brendan's head is turned toward him, but his eyes are kind of glassy and out of it. When did you last eat, Brendan? Spencer's nausea is back, threefold. He knows what naturally skinny looks like. Ryan's built like a bird, but he also knows what too skinny not eating looks like, and this feels more like a lack of food than a fast metabolism. Brendan makes a soft noise. Wednesday? Jesus fuck, you didn't eat Thanksgiving dinner? Didn't your folks notice? Spencer doesn't know a whole lot about eating disorders, not really, but he really feels that someone should have noticed Brendan not eating Thanksgiving dinner. They don't. Brendan starts coughing again and doesn't stop until Spencer makes him sip some water. The dining hall's closed over holidays. Brendan puts his hand on the bottom of the water glass. Enough, I'm tired. Spencer feels like someone hollowed out his insides, but he helps Brendan lie back down to sleep. Then he calls Mikey Way. I need Pete Wentz's number. Mikey rattles it off before he thinks of asking why. You don't really like Pete, do you? That's Ryan. Are you going to join the drama group or something? What? Spencer likes Mikey. It's very hard not to, but sometimes his logic is very special. Why would I want to join that? Credit? G joined for credit, and then he made me join, and it's kind of fun painting scenery or whatever, and you know, good for scoring chicks. I'm gay, Mikey. Mikey sounds unperturbed, which, to be fair, is how Mikey sounds all of the time. It worked for G and Frank, and like, Pete and I had a thing, so yeah, I guess not just chicks for the scoring thing. Hey, you're not trying to, like, pick up Pete, are you? He's not really into the gay sex thing. Spencer splutters. But you just said you had a thing with him. Yeah, I did. Just, like, above the waist, you know? Plus, I think he's in love with Patrick anyway.
I. What? Spencer has no idea what's happening in this conversation.
Look, I need to go and call Pete and kick his fucking ass about letting my roommate starve himself. That doesn't sound like a Pete thing to do. Mikey actually sounds a bit like he's having an emotion. Didn't he, like, give B a job so he'd have some money? Spencer's stomach hasn't stopped rolling since he walked into Brendan's room, and now it clenches painfully. Something totally fucked up is going on with his roommate, and now Brendan's sick, and Spencer feels like he's possibly a little bit responsible. Pete Wentz sounds concerned when Spencer calls him and tells him Brendan's sick. Aw, poor kid. Tell him it's fine about the shoot tomorrow. I'll postpone it. Did he catch it when you guys were flying back from Vegas? What? The holiday line flyers. I wanted to get them printed up this weekend, but I can wait a couple days if B needs it. I know you wanted the money for Christmas. No, I didn't know about the shoot, but that's kind of, but Spencer is practically stuttering. None of this makes any sense. Flying back from Vegas? Yeah, it was nice of your folks to invite him for the holidays. My family's super fucked up, so it was good that he had somewhere to go and I didn't have to bring him with me. Yeah, Spencer is actually going to vomit. Brennan is out for the count when Spencer goes to check on him. So Spencer goes to the store and buys a million different kinds of medicine and soup and Gatorade and fruit. He can't fucking work out what's been happening with Brendan, so he's going to make Brendan get better, and then he's going to shout at Brendan until Brendan explains it all. Spencer feels a lot better. Now he has a plan. It's a crap plan. Brendan takes days to get better, and he won't look at Spencer in the eye at all. Spencer catches Brendan trying to leave the suite while Spencer's out at his accounting lecture, canceled due to snow. Catches him practically coughing up a lung in the elevator lobby, in fact. And Spencer is not going to have all his hard nursing work ruined. Where the fuck do you think you're going? Brendan's still coughing. Back to fucking bed. Unless you're going to the health center, which you're not, because it's closed. Spencer shepherds Brendan back to the suite and makes him sit on the couch. He's spoken with Pete some more, and Mikey's brother Gerard, who Mikey said was Brendan's best friend of the crowd that hung around with Pete. Gerard is the kind of person that makes other people want to confess things, because he's so fucking earnest all the time, and Spencer thinks he's worked it out now, but it's horrible, and he needs Brendan to confirm everything. Brendan, did you stay here over the holiday? Brendan nods, and Spencer swears quietly. Landman is shut over the holidays. The dining hall is closed. The heat's shut off. No one's meant to be there. Why? Brendan starts and stops again. I had problems with my flight. Spencer knows there's more to it than that. Not what exactly, but Gerard had hinted at more. Like engine failure, or more what would be waiting at the other end. Brendan huffs out a nasty sounding laugh. Oh, you found out then? You can't get me moved, you know? There's no discrimination policy here. I guess they'd move you, though, if you really can't bear to be near. Wait, what? What the fuck are you talking about? I'm sure campus housing will be understanding if you can't stand to live with the gay boy anymore. I mean, I've never done anything, but I have looked at your ass in underpants. Brendan sounds bitter. What? Brendan, I've had boys staying here overnight with me at least 4 times since you moved in. I'm really not having a gay freak out here. Although that does. Bren, did your family throw you out? No. Brendan sniffs. They asked me to conform to their beliefs and I couldn't. We came to a mutual understanding. Where you stay in an unheated room over Thanksgiving? Where they helped me get my transcript and let me pack up all my stuff before I left so I could arrange a transfer here. That sounds like being thrown out to Spencer. Spencer can't fucking deal. Not immediately. So he makes Brendan go to bed with some medicine and, like, a quart of Capri Sun. Spencer knows he's lucky. His mom had known he was gay practically before he did, and he was never really afraid that he was going to get thrown out or anything for coming out. He was afraid things would change, afraid of disappointing his dad, of his sisters getting bullied for having a faggot big brother. But he knew, deep in his bones, that his family would still love him, no matter what. His mom had taken him on a long car ride when he was 15, and somehow she'd made it easy to say that he liked boys. That what was making him grumpy and miserable was that Ryan didn't, and that Ryan had a girlfriend who made Spencer want to hurt things. But even then, even with knowing how much his folks loved him, coming out was really fucking hard. Spencer just wants to go home and hug his mom and dad so tight, and then he wants to punch Brendan's parents in the face. He has to make do phoning home instead, and he feels close to tears when his mom finally picks up. Hey, Mom? Hi, honey. Are you okay? I saw in the news that the snow's pretty bad up there. Yeah, I'm fine. They're used to it here. Spencer sniffs. I wanted to say thanks for never. His voice feels very thick in his throat. Spencer, baby, what's wrong? Mom, can Brendan come home with me for the holidays? Brendan? His mom sounds confused. Your annoying roommate, Brendan? I think I might have. Mom, his folks threw him out. He's sick because he stayed here over Thanksgiving and didn't eat, and that could have been me. Except for you and Dad are good parents, and if he's here over Christmas, I think he might, get really sick, and no one should be alone over Christmas. Please? Please, Mom? Baby, of course. Of course you can bring anyone you like home. You just tell me all about Brendan, and I'll make sure there are some presents for him under the tree that he'll like, too. Spencer scrubs at his face. He feels about 5 years old, and now his mommy is fixing everything. He knows she isn't. Some things can't be fixed, but he takes the comfort just for the moment. He really likes Capri Suns. Brendan tries to argue about coming home with Spencer for the holidays, but Spencer has decided. You don't even like me. Okay, so Spencer hasn't really made an effort to make friends with Brendan, but apparently Brendan's told everyone else in his life that they're friends. Pete and Gerard and all of the drama crowd. So Brendan's just gonna have to live with it. Yes, I do. I haven't even tried strangling you in your sleep. That's not liking. That's just not being an attempted murderer. Wrong. Brendan gives an exasperated sigh. Fine, freak. I can't afford to come to Vegas with you. I only get tuition covered, and I missed, two modeling gigs for Pete, so I don't have enough money for books next semester, let alone plane tickets. Spencer shrugs. Ryan subbed in for you. The money's in your account. Anyway, my parents already bought your ticket. What? I can't accept that. They're non-refundable. Spencer shrugs. You're just gonna have to. You can, help my mom with the dishes or something. Fuck, Spencer. We leave next Wednesday at 4. Ryan's picking us up in his terrifying car. Have your bags packed and your affairs in order. Brendan deflates and leans forward until his head's on his knees. Spencer pats his shoulder. Try to bring some dirty laundry with you. Mom seems to like washing clothes. Brendan does not bring dirty laundry with him. He doesn't even let Spencer bring dirty laundry with him, which means Spencer brings pink socks with him instead, because Brendan's not very good at laundry. But that's okay. Spencer can show him. Spencer is making roommate lemonade. He's not telling Brendan that. Brendan's not quite over the not strangling thing yet. Perhaps this year will turn out great after all. The end. This has been Making Roommate Lemonade, written by Ermengarde and read by DePatie for Pod Together 2013. The original story text can be found at archiveofourown.org/works/91215.